Corey, what do you think about Tim LeCastro spikes being in Cooperstown? He seemed pretty excited to hand that base to his mom too post game. That kind of a neat, seemed like just a really neat overall night last night at the ballpark.
Yeah, it was a great story. Kid from Ithaca College, from Syracuse, not far from Cooperstown. He's probably understood the history of the game, and knowing that, you know, everybody knows what Cooperstown is when you play this game and you get into professional baseball, it takes on a different meaning. So I did see that video. Our group did a great job of capturing that, and those are things that he's going to be so proud of, and his mom, I'm sure, they're so proud of today, but it's going to be there forever on that moment where he set a major league record and handed the base to his mom. Those are special things, and it's a way to say thank you because parents are involved on every level. I don't care what the players think. The parents have had such a huge part in their lives, and special moment for all of them. But when you're talking about major league records and you're getting your spikes put in Cooperstown, to me, that's the ultimate sign of I'm trying to find the perfect word. I don't even know what the perfect word is, but the ultimate sign of a situation where you've done your work on a level that is so extreme and so elite that you're going to the best place, for me, the best place in the world.
Tori, obviously when a record is on the line, the stakes of being caught on the bases are like super high. Mm-hmm. But now that he's secured that, I know Dave McKay said before that Tim could probably even push the envelope a little more in terms of when he chooses to go for second or third. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like he could be a little bit more aggressive? I know that kind of the break-even point on stolen bases is around 80% or something.
Yeah, that's the return we're looking for, and we take it a step further. You know, we want to do better than 80%. We have been very successful here, but Timmy does a great job of studying. He's watching video at all times, and he knows the habits of these pitchers before he gets to first base. Even if he hasn't been there physically, he has already done his prep work. So, he's the baseball version of Tom Brady when it comes to understanding exactly what's going on when he gets to first base, and nothing's going to surprise him. So you don't steal 28 bases by just being a great athlete and being smart. The great base stealers decide when not to go. Those are the most important things, and he's making great decisions. And, you know, 28 for 28 is unreal. And I told him to just rip the roof off of it, and why don't we make it 50? So I know that'll be his mindset. And think about what catchers are doing and pitchers are doing. They all know. Everybody knows what's going on here in our industry. So each catcher is taking it personal. They want to be the guy to stop the streak. So everything gets heightened, and he still can't get caught. It's pretty special.
Jody Jackson.
Yeah, Tori, just a little bit more on that. I mean, I know, not trying to take anything away from Tim, obviously, and the spotlight's on him, but do you guys take pride as an organization in giving him this opportunity? Because, you know, you guys bought into what he does and gave him this chance.
Yeah, I think we're always trying to push the envelope and be great in every area and every department. And this is greatness right before us every single time he gets to first base. And we're proud of him. But as an organization, we want to, take opportunities and take chance and take the risks with minimal chance of a poor reward, and see how it lands and see where it takes us. So I think it's been a great match for us getting Timmy. He's been very productive in all areas of his game, and he's improving in all areas of his game, but he's certainly elite as a base dealer, and we want to continue to enhance that as well.
Evan Thompson. Hey, Tori, I don't know if you noticed this, but when Tim stole the record-breaking base, Tucker Barnhart actually tried to throw the ball before he caught it, and that's why it tipped off his glove and went to the screen. What do you think that says about Tim as a base runner?
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm sure Tucker, who's a gold glover, has done some amazing things behind the plate, was taking it personal. He wanted to be the guy to knock it down. And he knew, I'm sure he knew going into that game that each time he got on the base that he was potentially going to set a major league record. So those are little things that we talk about. Tim just being at first base is going to make everybody hurry. You know, I can lean forward a little bit more because I'm excited. I know when the green light's on, and I know that something special could happen. So imagine what the pitcher's thinking, where there's competition and noise over his left shoulder, and there's competition at home plate where he's probably going to make a mistake. The catcher's trying to hurry to make something great happen. So we like those odds. We like those chances and those big returns that are going to come with forcing guys to hustle and make mistakes. So you can see what happened. Tucker fired out of there, and he had one shot at it, and the ball glanced off of his glove. So Timmy just being over there will do that to you. Now you add in this extra layer of potentially setting a major league record. It's gonna heighten it even more.
Hey, Tori, are you guys waiting on anything in particular today with the lineup? I haven't seen it posted yet.
Okay. No, the lineup is out. And I think it's Casey just told me. I handed off the pipe, and then it has to go through a bunch of different levels before it goes out to Major League Baseball. So I think we're in the process of sending it to Major League Baseball right now. But okay. It was out last night, so no, we're not waiting on anything.
Okay. Have you guys figured out a starter for Tuesday?
Not yet.
Tori, the lineup just got posted. I saw you have Van Meter at second base. How are you looking at the kind of the mix at that position right now in terms of the, you know, the playing time and how it's being apportioned up? I know Josh has had a, you know, not the start he wanted at the plate.
Yeah, Josh is
Rojas. Yeah. Sorry, Josh Rojas.
Yeah, I got you. I understood that. He's done a great job in Nicky's absence at shortstop. But now that Nicky's returned, we're going to probably have a little bit of a rotation with him getting playing time. And he's going to find himself playing a little bit of second base for sure. Offensively, we know he's grinding. It's not an easy science to hit the baseball and have success. And he had a great spring. We just want to make sure that he's continuing to be in a good hitting position and do all the things that was helping him have that type of success through March. So, that's our concern there offensively, and we know he's going to be fine. But, you know, it's a delicate balance. I'm trying to give Cabrera as many at-bats as possible, and he has an ease to his game on both sides of the ball. The at-bats have been outstanding, and you can see he got us right back into the game by hitting that solo home run yesterday. But I got to be mindful of you know, his workload. I know that he can handle it, but I don't want to overload him and have him wear down in August and September. So I gotta be mindful of that. And what that means is you're gonna see a rotation of guys at second base, and that includes Escobar when he's not gonna be playing third base. That'll include Van Meter, and that'll include Rojas. And I want to keep everybody involved. I believe in that. So especially on these day games when you want that healthy, fresh mind and body to play, I think you're going to see some of these guys have some of their most productive at-bats during day games. But that's not where it's going to end. They're not just going to be day game players. They're going to get some starts throughout the course of the season, and it's going to be a balance. I haven't figured it out yet, but we're going to get there, and I want to get as many players the right amount of at-bats to stay healthy and have productive years.
All right, guys, we'll see you after the game.
Yep.
Hold on. Nick Coro.
I did just bring up the lineup. Calhoun is just getting a day because you don't want to push him too hard right away. Is that basically what that is?
Correct. So we had a little bit of a game plan, a little bit of strategy mapped out prior to him returning. We knew today would be one of his target off days.
What about for Nick?
Nick, a little bit of the same. And we were wanting to see how he got through yesterday's game, and we had some conversation with him last night. And actually, the third out was made, and he got me in the dugout, and he said, I'm fine, I'm ready to go tomorrow. So we were going to let it play out based on what information he was giving us. We want him to play. We know he's strong. We just want to make sure that the knee's feeling good, and he said he's feeling fine. So, but we're going to have a strategy with him, too. He's not going to play every day early on. We got to make sure that we're protecting these athletes' return. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Hey, Casey, don't use buzzer beater with Tori. He's still trying to get over that Final Four thing.
See you guys.